And so we're going to talk tonight. I'm going to read to you one verse of scripture to start us off here. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Praise God. Amen. We're going to talk to you a little bit tonight on this subject, the scriptures. The scriptures. Praise God. We know that when we talk about the scriptures, or if we were to talk about the Bible, or if we were to talk about the Word of God, we would be talking about the same thing. And yet I want you to know that when we talk about the Word of God, we're actually talking about His voice. The Word of God is the voice of God. And so when God said, let there be light, there was light. And so John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. That was the Word that was in the beginning. It was His voice. His voice uttered, His voice enunciated Word. And that's the Word of God, His voice. So we need to remember that the Word of God is the voice of God, and that the voice of God is the Word of God. But the voice of God was written down. What God said was written down. It was put down on parchment. And it was the prophets who put it down. It was the scribes who recorded what the prophets said. They wrote it down, and that written word, that written version of what the voice speaks is what we call the scriptures. It's a script, and it's written by the scribes. And so we hold in our hand today a Bible, which just simply means a book, but it's not just a book, it's the holy book, or the Holy Bible, and it is the inspired, infallible Word of God. It is more than just. It is an ancient piece of literature, but it's more than that. It is a book that is full of life. It gives the key to eternal life. I want us to never get disassociated from that reality. That we hold in our hands a bounded together book that holds within it the key to eternal life. And what a blessing, what a wonderful blessing that is. There was a time when these holy scriptures were concealed in ancient languages that very few people knew and understood. And those that knew them and understood them were religious figures. And they would lock these away. In fact, they literally were bound in pages and books that were large, heavy, large books that were chained to cathedrals, chained to cathedral walls, that you to ever see a Bible, you had to go look at it at the cathedral, and it was too large of a book even to easily remove, and it was chained, it was bound in the cathedral. Now, if you did manage to open it up and read it for a little while, it was written in an ancient language that nobody knew, and so it was heavily concealed, these words, and so when this Bible was published in modern language and in the languages of the earth, that is when there was a reformation that occurred when this took place. There was a reforming and a protestation. It was a Protestant reformation saying that we want to know God for ourselves. Now, what was written in this book has been alive for thousands of years, since the dawn of creation. It has been alive and it has been present for us. God revealed it to His prophets. And the Bible says that the scripture came not in old time by the will of man, But holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And they uttered words. Now, people want to criticize this book and they want to say it was written by man. Well, now, it is true that man is the one who inscribed the words on the papers. But if you read the words, you will know no man could have ever come up with those words. Hallelujah. These words carry in them spirit and life. And we are a blessed people that somebody took the time to take down the words that were written. This Holy Bible is not just a collection of ancient sages and seers, but it is specifically those who were tied into and heard the voice of God. That's the difference. Not everybody hears the voice of God. In fact, the Bible says in one place in the book of 1 Samuel, when Samuel was a child in the temple, the Bible says the word of God was precious in those days. And what it means there is that the word of God, it was exceedingly rare for people to hear the voice of God. It was, people just didn't hear the voice of God. And you can see that exampled in that story. Just really quick, I'll tell you what took place. Hannah had a barren womb, and she made a commitment to God that if the Lord would open her womb, she would give that child that resulted from that miracle to the temple of the Lord, and he would be brought up in the temple of the Lord. And Eli, the priest, saw her praying. Her prayer became so desperate that she began to speak from her heart, and her mouth was moving, but there were no words coming out, and God was hearing the communication of her heart. And Eli looked at this, and at first he thought she was intoxicated. He had a similar reaction to those that walked into the upper room and said, "These men are full of new wine." He had a similar reaction to Hannah. He thought she was drunken. He thought it was a shame what was happening. But as he continued to listen, to observe, and to experience what was taking place, he then said, "No, this is a real situation." As she began to express to him and explain her matter, the Bible said he perceived that the thing was of the Lord. He perceived that the thing was of the Lord. Now, that lets you know that it took him a while to catch what was happening. He was able to perceive it only after misjudging it. Whereas if the word of God had not been exceedingly rare, if the voice of God was readily heard, he would have known upon seeing it what it was that was taking place. And the same thing took place when Samuel heard the voice of God, and the Lord said, "Samuel, Samuel." And now this little boy that Hannah had committed to the Lord in 1 Samuel is now in the temple. He's being raised in the temple. He hears the voice of God say, "Samuel, Samuel." He gets up, goes to Eli and said, "You called?" And Eli said, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And Samuel hears it again. And he comes back to Eli. Eli said, "Go back to bed. Stop messing around. I'm tired. Trying to get some sleep here. Got a long day tomorrow." And Samuel hears it again. And Samuel, now the Bible says, Eli perceived. Again, he perceived that Samuel had heard from God. He said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So when the word of God is exceedingly rare and precious and not very many people are hearing it, it takes a while for people to really catch on to what the word of God is saying. But God wants his people to know his voice. That's what he said concerning being the good shepherd. "I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. I lead them in and out of good pasture. And my sheep hear my voice, my sheep know my voice." You want to be able to know the voice of God. And the way you know the voice of God is by comparing what you're feeling in prayer, what you think you've heard in prayer, comparing it to what is written, the scriptures. The voice of God will not contradict the written word of God. I like to call the voice of God the audio book and the Bible the hardback version. It's the same book, but one One is him speaking and one is what has been written. And that's really the way that it works. If you hear God say something that is not able to be anchored in the word, you need to tune into a different frequency. You're not hearing from the Lord. He will never tell you something contrary to his word. He will never lead you down a path that his word does not give you understanding about. And so we want our mind, our heart, our soul, our spirit to be anchored to the Holy Scriptures. Amen. Now, this passage of Scripture, this chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is Paul talking to a young man by the name of Timothy. It is his second epistle to him. It's one of his last. It's where he described that he was now ready to be offered, that he was, the time of his departure was at hand, that he was, he had fought a good fight and kept the faith. But I want to read to you from this third chapter of 2 Timothy. Now, we read the scripture that said all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But let's read a little bit ahead of that. They say that a good way to gather context is to read 20 verses prior and 20 verses after. It's a good little rule of thumb just to understand what it is that you're reading. Anybody can reach into the Bible, pull out a verse, twist it to their liking, build a nice little doctrine, start a kind of a religious focus, and claim that they've got scriptural authority for it. Well, the devil's really good at doing that too. And in fact, the devil can outquote many of the people who follow the Lord because our relationship with the scriptures aren't as good as they should be many times. But let's look at what this says leading up to the verse we read. Let's read with verse 1 because you're going to find that Paul is warning Timothy about the perilous times that are coming. This know also, verse 1, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Now, he said this is going to happen in the last days. He might as well just said 2024 is going to be these circumstances. Because, man, that's where we're living, ladies and gentlemen. And notice what he said. He said, from such turn away. He's talking about repentance. He's talking about walking away from the things that are going to drag you down. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. They're deceptive. He's describing their deception. He's describing their subvertive, the way that they subvert people. They creep into houses. They lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning. This is a reference to the increase of knowledge that occurs and is occurring in these last days. Ever learning. There is an increase of knowledge happening all around us right now. Remember when we used to think it would be absolutely shocking to make a phone call where you could see someone's face while you were talking to them? My goodness, I remember hearing that and thinking, my goodness, on Mars maybe, but, and now thank God for FaceTime. We can talk to our loved ones that are far away and ever learning. Technology is abounding. Technology is increasing, but man can learn as much as he wants, but if he doesn't come to the knowledge of the truth, it will not be profitable unto him at all. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the truth. I'm telling you, that's our world in which we're living. Jannes and Jambres represent the Egyptian government that was opposing Moses. And this is a description of the powerful entities. Jannes and Jambres were some of the very powerful figures of Egyptian history. And they resisted Moses And we're going to face that kind of resistance, and we are. And Jannes and Jambres were some of the most brilliant minds of their day. But Moses was armed with what? The Word of God. The Word of God. And the Bible said that they are men of corrupt minds. They are reprobate concerning the truth. They shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So we can't be intimidated by this world, because the folly of this world will be manifest on its own. We stand on the scriptures. Don't be deceived by this world. You know, when Moses walked into Pharaoh's court, threw down the rod, and it became a serpent, that's a pretty profound miracle that occurred there. He took the rod that God showed him before the burning bush. He threw down that rod. It turned into a serpent before the Egyptian court. Now, that's a pretty powerful miracle. And if the Egyptian magicians didn't turn around and do the exact same thing. Now, that's where a lot of believers exit stage left. They look at that and say, well, if they can achieve the same thing I achieved through obeying God, if they've got it just as good as I do or better because of obeying God, and they had two snakes, two serpents that were slithering around on the ground versus Moses, the rod of Aaron, which was one serpent. And so they have more than I have. And that's when a lot of believers say, well, I guess this isn't as powerful as I thought it was, because they're duplicating it and doing more. They've got more. But the scriptures are never to be vacated. They're never to be abandoned. The word of God is never to be distrusted or disobeyed. And so Moses stood with what the Lord had told him to do. And notice, if you remember the story, and if you don't, I'm going to tell it to you real quick. The rod of Aaron turned into a serpent. The rods of the Egyptian magicians turned into serpents. Theirs were more. They were able to duplicate what he did. And Aaron's rod consumed the serpents of the other Egyptian magician rods. If you'll stay there long enough, if you'll keep watching, you'll see that their folly will be manifest. Do not be intimidated by the culture that surrounds us. Do not be intimidated by the naysaying of the world in which we live. Stand on the Word of God, and the Word of God will prove to be true. And the folly of this world will be made manifest. Doesn't matter if they've got more. Doesn't matter if they seem like they do more. Doesn't matter if they seem like they have outdone the Word of God. The Word of God will stand forever. Oh, hallelujah. So this is leading up to what we read. He said, they shall proceed no further. Their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as Jannes and Jambres also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. You have fully known my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecutions, my afflictions. This is important for the people of God to know. They need to know the doctrine. They need to know the manner of life. They need to know about purpose and faith and long-suffering and charity and patience. And yes, they need to know persecutions and afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. How many remember when the Lord delivered us out of persecution? Out of them all the Lord delivered me. Oh, testify. Don't be afraid to tell people what the Lord has done for you. Hallelujah. And so he said, out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, that's not a, you know, we say sometimes, now you, when you live for the Lord, you might go through some things. No, let's change that up. When you live for the Lord, you're gonna go through some things. It's not a matter of, in fact, somebody said, the Lord never told me the road would be easy. Let's change that up. The Lord told you the road wouldn't be easy. His yoke is easy, but the road is a challenging thing. And he promised you that offenses will come. He promised you that the rain will fall on the just and the unjust. You're going to go through some things. You shall suffer persecution, but let's keep reading. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. Here we're coming into what we're talking about. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He's telling Timothy, perilous times are coming. People are going to have a form of godliness, but they're going to deny the power thereof. People are going to resist you. They're going to resist you like Jannes and Jambres did. That Egyptian government resisted Moses. You're going to find resistance in the world in which you live. He let Timothy know that persecution is coming. He let him know that affliction will come. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He let him know that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. What is our response to that? Our response to all of that is to continue in the things that we have learned and have been assured of. Praise God. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Duvall. Thank you, Brother Purdy. Thank you to our children's ministry team members and Sunday school teachers. Thank you to our Bible quiz coordinators. Thank you. Thank you. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says to hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and him only shall you serve. You shall love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And let me tell you, when we read that, he says to teach that diligently unto your children. Teach it diligently unto your children. He said, talk about it when you rise up in the morning. Talk about it when you're sitting in the middle of the day. He said, talk about it before you go to bed at night. We have to fill our homes with the Word of God, with the Holy Scriptures. We have to fill our home with worship and praise, because we have to teach this diligently unto our children. Now, when I preach, I quote a lot of Scripture. And there are certain passages that are very special to me. They all are. But there are several that I have committed to memory, and I quote them when I'm preaching. But it's important to note that the vast majority of those I learned as a child. I didn't learn those preparing for a given sermon. I learned those as a child. They were put in my heart as a child. Hallelujah. And you say, well, what if I missed the boat on that? What if I wasn't serving God until later in life? Then have childlike faith and accept the Holy Scriptures as a child would accept the Holy Scriptures. Praise God. At some point, you're going to realize this world doesn't have the answers. At some point, you're going to realize that this world does not have the answers. And when they look at you and they say all the confusing things that they do, that ought to be the wake-up call that this world doesn't have the answers. But we know that the Word of God has the answers. And he said, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's what the Scriptures do. They make you wise, and the direction the wisdom takes you is salvation. Salvation from hell. Salvation from death, salvation from sin, all of which are connected, sin, death, and hell. They're all connected, but the Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation, praise God, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That right there, that statement, the Scriptures are able to make you wise, and they make you wise for a particular purpose, unto salvation. And that salvation is through faith, and that faith is in Christ Jesus. My goodness. I'm just going to be blessed by that the rest of the night. Praise God. Wisdom unto salvation through faith in Christ. Praise God. And here it is. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for teaching. That's what doctrine is. It's the teaching of God's word. And it is, the scriptures are profitable for what you need to learn through teaching. And they're profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, we want the word of God to comfort us, and it does. How many have been comforted by the word of God? Anybody ever needed just a word from God, and you just open up the scriptures and, man, there it is. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hallelujah. I was telling this recently where I was preaching at a men's conference. My father and I were preaching at a men's conference, and I preached a message about Josiah, and the whole message was about Josiah from birth to throughout his reign as king of Judah, and I talked about Josiah throughout the whole message. There's a whole message about him, and my dad preached on the subject of grace. He talked about grace and dealt with grace and the process whereby grace is administered to the believer and the life that comes from grace. And beautiful day we had in the Lord. I preached about Josiah. He preached about grace. And I'll never forget afterwards, a man came to us and said, I came to this men's conference discouraged as a father. He said, I felt like I was like a boat just drifting out without an oar. And I needed help. My kids are teenagers and I'm having trouble with both my son and my daughter. And I needed direction and I needed to know that God knew where I was. And he said, and I got it today. The Lord helped me today. He said, my son's name is Josiah. My daughter's name is Grace. He said, God knows where I am. Amen. There's something about the scriptures. Paul described the patience and comfort of the scriptures. The patience and comfort of the scriptures. And that's a beautiful way to describe it, because that's what the scriptures do. You can go through the deepest, darkest trials of life, but the moment you open up the scriptures and you see something that is a ready word for you where you are, it will give you the ability to endure that trial. And things don't even have to be resolved yet. Things don't even have to be fixed yet. But you've got the patience you need, because you opened up the book and God spoke from thousands of years ago to where you are today and said, I know where you are. This is what you're going to do. This is the next step to take. Or maybe he says, stand still. But you don't need a solution when you've got the scriptures. The patience of the scriptures. Get a word from God every day. You need daily bread. That's what you need. You need daily bread. And I like to tell people to read until you're fed, and that is your daily bread. Read the word of God until you feel it hit your soul and it speaks to you. Read until that happens. Pray. Open up your heart, your mind, and pray and ask God to speak to me through your word and read that word. And when you begin to read that word, something is going to leap out at you. That's your daily bread. Eat on that the rest of the day. Hold it like a dinner roll, your daily bread. Put it in a little Ziploc baggie and carry it around with you the rest of the day. And when that coworker comes up who's always so rude and arrogant, just open up the Ziploc bag, pull out that daily bread and nibble on it a little bit. And when you're driving home and somebody cuts you off, pull out that little Ziploc bag, open up that daily bread and nibble on it a little bit. When you get home and the stress of life is all around you and the kids need this and this and that are developing around you, open up that daily bread. It will feed you all day long. It will give you peace. It will give you patience and it will comfort your soul. Praise God. Praise God. There are, just this past week, Brother Bob Minkenbaugh went to be with the Lord. Bless his heart. What a wonderful man, a gentleman, a Christian gentleman. Went to be with the Lord, and the family said that we'd love for this scripture to be included in the eulogy. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. somewhere in the darkness of losing this precious man, that scripture ministered to that family. That's what the scripture will do. It will comfort you. It will be a blessing to you in the middle of your deep, dark trials of life. You're not alone. Open up the scriptures and let them speak to you and let them minister to you. Praise God. This book is a lamp to your feet, and it is a light to your path. It being a light to your path means that it'll show you where you're going. But it being a lamp to your feet will show you what step to take to get there. It's one thing to look off in the distance and see where it is that you're headed. It's another thing altogether to be able to navigate the rocky terrain required to get there. But that's what the scriptures will do for you. It's important to know the scriptures. David said in Psalm 119, 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." He didn't just hide the word in his mind. Now, before it can get to your heart, it has to go through your mind. But it has to get in your heart. Don't just leave it in the register of what you have accumulated from the standpoint of knowledge. But let it get into your heart. When I say into your heart, I mean into your feelings, into your desires. Let it get into how you feel. Let the scriptures inform your feelings, not the other way around. Don't let the feelings you have inform the scriptures, but let the scriptures inform your feelings. If there's something you believe and find out from reading the scriptures that the scriptures disagree, you're wrong and the scriptures are right. And if there's something that you hold dear, and if there's something your family members have held dear, and you find out that it's contrary to the scriptures, you will never regret letting God be true and every man a liar. Let the scriptures inform your beliefs. Let the scriptures inform your convictions. Let the scriptures inform your faith. Let the scriptures, hallelujah, lead the way. We hold to the scriptures. This is the judgment of this house. Hallelujah. This is the authority of this house. Praise God. We are accountable to this book. Everything we do and everything we say and every ministry we undertake and every effort we try to undergo, all of it has to be anchored in that holy book. We have to be able to say, because the Bible says thus, we do this. We don't get to venture out onto our own. We don't get to try to go the way of the world, go the way of popular trends and fashions. And we don't get to do that. No, we're not self-appointed. We're not self-anointed. We only have authority if we are wholly, wholly positioned upon the word of God. That word authority is an interesting word. The root of it is author. And if you are saying something different than the author, you have no authority. The only thing that gives us authority is that we are true to what the author of this book has said. That's the only thing that gives us authority. I don't have any authority. We can talk about pastoral authority. Pastoral authority comes from being true to God. That's why we can't get arrogant about authority. That's why we can't lord authority over anybody, because of the fact that it's not ours. It belongs to God. Praise the Lord. And so we have a responsibility to be true to God and true to His word. And His scripture is of no private interpretation. My God, have mercy. Something beautiful about this holy book that we read from. Sister Heidi was in Eastern Europe as a little girl, and she was probably 10 years old. And the 10, 11 years old, and the Soviet Union was in the process of falling. She was there, the Berlin Wall was coming down, and well, they lived in Germany, and she was a part of the missionary teams. Sister Tenney and Sister Rodenbusch, Sister Enos, they were all involved in teams that were passing Bibles out to people who had never held in their hands a holy Bible. How many do we have scattered across our houses? And some of them we forgot we had, and some of them the pages they don't even separate easily because we don't read them very often. And we've got them on our phones, and I'm glad we've got them on our phones. But let me just tell you something about these phones. It's easy to be reading the scriptures 1 minute and then switch over to the news app the next, and switch over to social media the next, and then go switch over to texting and emailing. And so you need to have a dedicated place where you can get alone with the Holy Scriptures. Praise God, and let the Word of God be a lamp to your feet. And as a little girl, she was helping pass those Bibles out, and they had more people than they did Bibles. They had a truck full of Bibles, and they were passing them out. The people were clamoring, nearly trampling one another, trying to get the Bible as though it were the last piece of bread they would ever eat. But they had never held in their hands a Holy Bible because they would be so persecuted for owning one. And they were now able to freely receive a Holy Bible. And my wife began to pass them out as a little girl. And when the last Bible went out, and there were more people than Bibles, and those people started to wail because they had traveled a great distance to come to this distribution center. And they began to wail and weep, feeling like they had missed their opportunity. They had lived so long without a Bible. And it got to her. She began to weep with them. It dawned on her how precious this book really is. And it's got to be precious to you. It's so precious you cannot add to it. It's so precious you cannot subtract from it. It is so precious you cannot twist it for your gain or for your posturing. We cannot do that. We have to let this book be the absolute guide. Hallelujah. We've got to know the letter of it. We've got to know the spirit of it. We've got to let it speak into our hearts. We have to pray sincere prayers. Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. Teach me, Lord. Teach me thy ways. Let me walk in your paths. And then we open up this book and you begin reading from these holy pages. It might seem a little awkward at first. You might be reading about some lineage that you don't know what kind of factor that has in the big picture. Or you might be reading about some ancient story that of a life that was lived, and it has to do with livestock and various little angles. And not, it may not make sense to you. Keep reading. Keep reading. Keep praying. Keep studying. Keep listening. Listen to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Hallelujah. A good relationship with the Word of God is to read the Word, to study the Word. Those are two different things. To read it and then to dive into it and study out what it is that you've been reading. And then it's important at times to memorize parts of the Word. You need to memorize certain things. You might have a great memory and can memorize large swaths of Scripture. If so, God bless you for that. But even if your memory's not great, get in there and try to memorize what you can. No condemnation if you can't. I know not everybody's memory is the same as others, but if you can, memorize what you can memorize. And I'm going to tell you, there are miracles that can happen. I remember one young lady came to the revival in Germany, and while we were preaching for Brother and Sister Enos years ago, and she received the gift of the Holy Ghost, and she came to Brother Enos, and she said, I started on Sunday. She said, I'm going to start reading my Bible. And she read her Bible, and by Wednesday, she said, I'm to Joshua. He said, wow. She said, yeah, I've made a lot of progress. And he said, you know, you can take your time on that. You know, if you, I'm glad you made it that far, but he said, you can kind of split that up. And if, you know, I don't want you to get, you know, in over your head. She said, you don't understand. I can't put it down. I just want to read and read. She said, all my life I've been dyslexic. When I would open up books, the words would dance across the pages and compound words would switch on me. My eyes couldn't read properly, and words would be backward. I'd read this word in front of that one and vice versa, and it just never made sense for me to read anything. But when I read the Bible, that changed. It was different for me. Everything flowed. Everything was line upon line. Everything was precept upon precept.
Hallelujah. So I want you to know, even if you've got a poor memory, you may not be able to remember what you did today, but I'm going to tell you, there's something about a hungry heart. There's something about a soul that's seeking the face of God, that when you open up this Bible, he'll honor the effort and he'll put his word in your heart. Hallelujah. If you'll begin to read the holy word of God, God will meet you there and begin to situate it into your soul. So read the word and study the word and memorize the word and obey the word. Hallelujah. Apply it. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word also. And listen to the word. That's an important part of having a proper relationship with the word of God. You being here tonight at Bible study, God bless you for that. That's important to your walk with God, to listen to the word of God and make sure that you're listening to the pastor and pastoral team, because you can trust that. There are, I'm gonna tell you, there's some people out there, you can't really trust everybody you're listening to. And you need to develop such a good relationship with the word of God that if somebody tries to twist the scriptures, that your antenna goes up and says, nope, that's not right. Hallelujah, seasoned and mature children of God that can rightly divide the word of truth. And so when you're listening to people preach or teach the word of God, make sure that you are receiving it, yes, but that as you're receiving it, you're also discerning it, and that it's lining up with the word of God. And so listen to the word of God and teach the word of God. Teach the word of God. Do you know some of the greatest insights I've ever received about the word have come from teaching the word and preaching the word? There are things that have come out of my mouth I didn't know before they came out of my mouth. And they came out of my mouth and I said, that was actually quite insightful. I didn't even know that was the thing. And I thought, I'm gonna go home and study that. But under the unction of the Holy Ghost, things will come out of your mouth that you did not premeditate. But the Holy Ghost in you will speak and give you utterance. And it'll come out of your mouth. And when you teach the word, if you're not teaching somebody the word of God, then you're missing out on a very valuable part of having a healthy relationship with God's word. And you don't have to stand behind a desk to do it. In fact, the vast majority of teaching the scriptures is to happen outside of this pulpit. And it's to happen across dinner tables, coffee tables, next to cubicles. It's supposed to happen on park benches. It's supposed to happen around and about the world in which we live. When I was in Israel a few years ago, we were standing in Capernaum. Capernaum, they call it. And while we were standing there, this was the village where Jesus came from. And while we stood, I asked the guide, I said, now, let's say we're 2,000 years ago and I come upon this little village of Capernaum and I want to go hear Jesus teach. I've heard about Jesus and I want to go hear him teach. And I said, where in this little village would I go to hear Jesus teach? And I'll never forget his answer. He said, anywhere. Everywhere. You just walk up and down these streets and you'll probably find him talking to somebody about eternal life. Because it's not supposed to be situated. We didn't build this building to lock this in here. This is a gathering of the faithful right now. And there may be somebody here who needs the Holy Ghost. And there may be somebody here that needs to be baptized in Jesus' name. And there may be somebody here that needs a miracle. And I thank God that you're here. God can do all of that for you. But the gathering of the faithful are here not simply to be fed and go home and not do anything with it. We're to be doers of the word. And if we're not taking the word and teaching somebody the word, then we're missing out on a very important part of having a healthy relationship with the word of God. Praise the Lord. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The people who do not understand the Bible
the people who are confused by the Bible, the people who don't trust the Bible, are people who have not rightly divided it. When you rightly divide the word of truth, it all begins to make sense. And in fact, there are no contradictions in the Bible. If you come across something that seems like it might be contradictory, that's when it gets exciting. Because you know it's not. And so now you're on a quest to figure out then what is happening here. And that unlocks the door to beautiful truth that will enhance your walk with God. So be teaching somebody the word of God. Be talking about the word of God. Be sharing the word of God. In my social settings, I like to talk about the word of God. I'm just going to give you a heads up. You know, if you want to hang out with me, I'm not a whole lot different there than I am here right now. I may not have a tie on, but I might even have that on. I don't know, but I may not be all dressed up, but I like to talk about the scriptures. That's what excites me. That's what blesses me, is to talk about the Holy Scriptures. It enlivens me. It blesses my soul. I want to talk about what God has prepared for us. I want to talk about what helps us to live for God, the glories of God, the beauty of His majesty. So teach the Word, read the Word, study the Word, memorize the Word, obey the Word, teach the Word, listen to the Word, and pray the Word. Pray the Word of God. In your prayer time, open up the Scriptures and say, Lord, your Word says. Hallelujah. How many have ever done that before? Glory to God. It's not that God needs to be reminded. God knows what His Word says. But when you talk to Him upon the basis of His Word, now you're talking. Now you're talking. This isn't just some kind of a fluffy thing. No, Lord, your word says. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now, because I'm tired of people struggling with questions in the privacy of their own thoughts and never verbalizing those questions to God because you feel guilty for having those questions. That ought not be. He is your Father. He is a good, good Father. He is your Heavenly Father. He is the Father of lights. In Him is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You can go to Him in prayer and you can talk about anything. You can open up your heart, open up and express the confusion of your mind. You can express whatever question is haunting you, and you can share with God, Lord, this is my concern. These are my struggles. This is what I need an answer to. And you may not receive an answer per se, maybe not the one you want, or maybe not even an answer at all. But you will receive peace. You will receive proximity. You will receive fellowship with God. And you will experience the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures. Praise God. So the Scriptures are comforting. But notice in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Now listen to what else it says. For reproof. For correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's not why everybody reads the Bible. You're not going through some kind of a trial in life with wiping the tears from your eyes saying, let me go see if I can get some good correction here. I need a correcting word right now. But that is actually many times what we need. And that's what's so beautiful about God. When you open up His word and you're praying to Him, folks, He will correct the fire out of you. And you'll love every minute of it. I don't know how to explain that. God has said some things to me that if somebody would have walked up to me and said, I don't know if I'd ever speak to them again. It was real, like in my face.
But the way he said it, the way his word said it, man, it made me want to talk to him longer, spend more time in his presence, because it opened truth up to me. And it made me want to dig a little deeper into the word of God. Hallelujah. Get acquainted with the major prophets. Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel. Get acquainted with the minor prophets. Hosea and Amos and Jonah and Obadiah, Nahum and Malachi, Micah, Zephaniah, Zechariah. Get acquainted with those books of poetry, Song of Solomon and Job and Psalms and Proverbs. Get acquainted with the books of history, the Chronicles and Kings and Samuel and Joshua and Judges and Ruth. Get acquainted with the books of the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Get acquainted with the gospel according to Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. Get acquainted with the Pauline epistles and the general epistles and, yes, the book of Revelation. Get acquainted with the scriptures. Let them get in your heart. Let them get in your spirit. Let them get in your actions. Let them get in your treatment of people. Let them get in the way you talk to your spouse. Let them get into the way you handle your children. Let them get into the way you dress. Let them get into the way you treat your employer. Let them get into the way you treat your employees. Let them get into the way you treat your neighbor. Let them get into the way you treat your government. Let them get into the way you eat. Let them get into the way you conduct your business. This scripture, these holy scriptures, are the words of eternal life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And they will bless you beyond measure. Thank you, Jesus. If you feel dry, if you feel like you're going through a dry place, if you feel like you're walking through a difficult time, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Open it up. Open it up. Read it again. Somebody said, I've had it many times, people say, Pastor, I just feel so dry. I just feel like I can't connect to God. I get that. I get that. Tell him. Tell him that. God, I don't feel like I can connect with you. I don't know why. I want to. I feel dry. I feel like I can't. I don't know. I can't feel you. Talk to him about it. Tell him about it. And then open up the word of God. Well, where do I start? I don't know. You know, you'll know as soon as you open your Bible. Your eyes, your hands will lead you to a place. And you start getting into that. And it may not be the place where God's taking you just yet, but let it lead. Let one thing lead to another. And let another thing lead to another. Go to the cross. Go to Noah's Ark. Go to the Red Sea. Go to Paul talking to Timothy. And go to the books of the Acts of the Apostles. And go to the book of Psalms and Proverbs. Just search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Jump in like a cannonball into a swimming pool. Search the scriptures. They're testifying of Jesus. And let them build you up in your most holy faith. Hallelujah. Can we lift up our hands right now and lift a praise unto God? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I search your word. I seek your face. I search your word, Lord. I seek your face. I need your word, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're looking for a good place to start, start at the beginning. It's always a good place to start a book. Start at the beginning. Let the word begin to inform you. Let the word begin to teach you. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I want some people that know the value of the word and appreciate the word. I wonder if you could just stand with me right now and lift up a praise unto God. And if nothing else, just thank him for his holy scriptures, for his holy word. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Blessed be his holy name. Blessed be his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm opening these altars for somebody who would like to come forward. I wonder if somebody can come forward with the knowledge that the scriptures are profitable for my reproof. When the scriptures correct me, it is profitable unto me. When the scriptures instruct me in righteousness, it is profitable unto me. When I read the word of God and it's contradicting something about me, it's helping me. It's helping me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We're living in perilous times. I wonder if somebody living in perilous times could come right now and say, Lord, anchor me to the word. Anchor me to the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've opened these altars for somebody to come right now and just pray to God. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Could you do it right now, Lord? I want to have that right relationship with your holy word. I want your word to be so precious to me that I'll read it every day. I want your word to be precious to me to the point that I'll obey it above my own feelings. Lord, I want your word to be so precious to me that I would never dream of adding to it, that I would never dream of subtracting from it. Lord, I want your word to be so precious to me that I won't subject my ears and my mind to a false presentation of your word. I won't subject my heart to receive the word of a false teacher. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Please let me stay. Thank you, Jesus. In your holiness, word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain? Hallelujah. Washing my eyes to see your majesty. Be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God speak. Word of God speak. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'm finding myself
in the midst of you.
Beyond the music,
beyond the noise.
All that I need,
oh,
yes.
To see your majesty. Hallelujah. 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 Let's receive that now in Jesus' name. Let's receive that now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's receive that right now in the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 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 Could we lift up a praise unto God in this house? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, O Lord. 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 Our missionaries have gone to nations where the word of God was suppressed, where Bibles were considered illegal, and people would be imprisoned for owning one. Missionaries would smuggle them in. One particular place, they walked into this room, 400 people were gathered. Little bitty room, 400 people crammed in there. It was illegal to worship together, but there they were, 400 people worshiping God. They didn't have access to Bibles, but when they found one, they committed it to memory, and the service consisted of the whole congregation quoting large passages of scripture together. from memory, reciting it together because they didn't want to forget the word. They didn't know when they'd ever, when it would be taken from them or when they'd be imprisoned. So they would just quote together the word of God because they didn't want to forget it. They would speak it aloud. Oh God, forgive us for taking for granted this precious book, these holy scriptures. God, let us have a new and a fresh relationship with your holy scriptures. Oh God, the scriptures are the great teacher. The scriptures are the great teacher. As you have spoken tonight, let us abound and abide in your word. I want us to take that with us as we go tonight, that the Lord would have us abound and abide in his holy word. Could you do that? Could you just commit to that tonight? Lord, I want to abound and abide in your holy word. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's make a fresh commitment before we go tonight to the word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to your name, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Your name.